Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Welcome to the Brown Briefly podcast and weekly radio show on the Voice of Vachon, located on beautiful Vachon Island, majestically rising above the waters of Puget Sound between Seattle and Tacoma and the state of Washington. That was the voice of Brian Brown, creator of the Brown Briefly. Brian started the Briefly and brought his high standards of intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy. Brian's motto was less is more, more or less, and he always offered more. Our Briefly panel today includes our big board pilot, real life pilot, treetop flyer, and almost fully reformed Texan, Truman O'Brien.
Good morning.
Good morning. Legal Beagle Eagle, consensus builder, former Washington State Assistant Attorney General, ladies shoe salesman, and Fulbright scholar, Craig Bellis.
Roof.
Yeah. We also have avid defender of justice, mariner, cyclist, and top secret engineer, Kevin Jones.
Hey, I'm here today. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you. Ahoy, Kevin, wherever you are on the seas. And last but not least, historian, professor, party animal, and down under aficionado, Bruce Hallman.
Good to be here.
Hello, and I am Amy Dreyer, part-time political, most-time housing wonk, and full-time shenanigans. Coordinator. What was that joke? What do you do if you let him shenan once?
You shenan again.
They'll shenan again. That's right.
Dun-dun-dun. That's bad.
All right. Today, we are going to get nerdy with it with an homage to NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. We can enjoy it while NPR is still around. Thank you. We'll have island trivia, national trivia, and some sobering world trivia. It's time to break out the good stuff, folks, don't you think? Get into those dusty bottles of wine.
Yeah.
I think so.
As long as they haven't turned to vinegar.
That's right. All right. Before we jump in, let's take a moment to check in about what special things we experienced this past week, Truman.
Oh, well, I by the way, I have a bone to pick with one of our panel members here, Mr. Craig Bellis.
Oh, what's up?
Well, in years past, you were my partner in parking cars for the garden tour.
Oh, were you out there parking?
You bet your bippy I was.
Oh, no, it was raining. I decided I needed to stay home.
I was wondering what the heck happened to you.
No, I actually,
I'm melting.
I had another, as they say in the Czech Republic, we're not made of sugar.
Yeah.
But I had another thing, and I didn't know you were signed up.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. I recruited my cousin, Bernie. Okay. He's not really my cousin, but we both share the last name, and so I call him Cousin Bernie. But he and I did the garden tour business. And I have to tell you, we were at the garden up on the top of Morgan Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Man, do the cars come flying up that road or what? And what we mainly did, we just had to park the cars along the side of the road on the west side. And so we ended up walking people back and forth across the
suicide.
Well, you know, there was one, everyone was very kind. We had signs and we had lights and we had vests, you know, I had all the stuff. And about 99.9% of the people all slowed down, waved, you know, smiled. We had one guy who came flying up the hill. He must have been doing 60 at least.
Wow.
And did not even begin to slow down. And finally, Bernie stepped right out in front of him with his bright light right in his face.
Nice.
And the guy slammed on the brakes and skidded. And the woman we were walking across happened to be from New York, and she let him have it with a few New York phrases, which some of those words you can't say on the radio.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
I like it. Come on down to Burton.
Oh, man. Yeah,
well,
something else.
Good for Bernie.
Yeah. Anyway, it was it was kind of cool. We had several people came out after that incident and said, whoa, boy, that must have been close. Because they could hear her clear back in the back of the garden, you know. But anyway, that was what I did.
You remember one year we had somebody who was a real pain. I think you and I were doing it together. They wouldn't park where I told them to
park.
Yeah, of
course.
Wouldn't park. And they said, no, we're parking right here. This is closer. And I go, okay. And that was the spot that had the giant yellow jacket nest right in the hedge. And I said, karma is real.
It's real. There you go. Yeah, funny.
All right, Bruce, did you have any instant karma this weekend?
No, every day is instant karma. But no, it's been just a good week. Today is the last day of school on Vashon Island. So the grandkids are out of school at noon today, and they are pumped. They're ready for summer. They're ready for the sailing program. They're ready for crabbing. You know, just it'll be a good summer. But kind of a quiet weekend. It was interesting on Saturday because of the rain. I mean, we desperately needed it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It just sort of, everything just sort of slowed down a little bit. And I came up that hill.
Oh, did you?
On Saturday.
Yeah,
and I was thinking, you know, I know Terry and Mary really well. And their whole fear about it was the parking.
Yeah.
Because people come flying up
valid
that hill.
Valid fear.
And so, that you know, Saturday afternoon, I came up that hill and I went slow.
Yeah. Did you see us out there?
I did. Yeah.
No,
right,
I
yeah.
didn't
it
see
was,
you.
It was good. Yeah. yeah. Right.
So. All right. Kevin, I think you've had quite some fun. Can we get an update on your navigation?
Hey, we've been floating around in the Sound and enjoying days. We enjoyed the sunny days. We did enjoy the rainy days. I have to say, Truman, I haven't heard Bet Your Bippy in a long time, so thanks for bringing that back.
Yeah.
We've also been tracking the rain, you know, but the one of the challenges harkens back to Truman's stories about appliances is that I had always been a little cagey about the windlass on the boat, which the device that the anchor line known as the road is drawn into the boat using the windlass. It's the winch basically on the front of the boat. And I put a new chain and road into the boat early this year, and the windlass was, you know, doing okay, but I looked at the motor and it was looking kind of sketchy. So we'd always had on our list, well, we better test that, you know, before we get too far north. And so we're going to go and anchor in Quartermaster before we left, and that didn't happen. And then we're going to anchor the day and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Finally, we get like 3 days out and let's go drop the anchor, and the windlass wasn't moving an inch.
Nothing.
So we get into LeConnor, and I was able to confirm that I have electricity to the motor, which is a good thing. So the motor, which looks really bad, I mean, the motor is basically corroded through into the windings at this point.
Oh, boy.
So for mariners, if you use your windlass in salt water, there's a lot of salt water that goes on over that motor, so every year or so, you might just want to, you know, spray some fresh water on that motor to kind of get the salt off. But the good news is that in LeConnor, we were able to purchase a motor. Now, there was one in stock in Seattle, two bolts, and a new windlass motor, and so we just got done yesterday anchoring in Blind Bay. And now we're here enjoying the Wi-Fi and the ambiance of Friday Harbor on San Juan.
Ooh.
Excellent.
Charming. And where are you headed from Friday Harbor?
We haven't decided yet. We're kind of taking this as a trip. We don't have a plan. We're kind of go day by day. But Garrison Bay, home of the British camp on San Juan Island, is a perfect spot. We anchor literally right off the dock. And I don't know if people are not as bold as us or foolish, but our boat is enough of a low draft boat that we can anchor right off this little island. And it's a very short hop over to the dock. And then you can walk the grounds of where British camp was during the Pig War, which is a much more scenic place than American camp on the very south end of the island, which is sort of like a desert of nothingness. But the British camp is beautiful trees and trails and very scenic little bay known as Garrison Bay.
Excellent. And Craig, how about you? What have you been up to?
Well, I had, you know, working on the cars, trying to get them all in shape to bring them out for the summer. But But I had a great little event at Dusty's Theater at General Joe Utowski's house this last Friday. He was playing Gone with the Wind and had invited individuals over to watch it. And my wife, Lynette, and I went over there. And Joe is in great form. He's only going to be on the island here for a few more weeks. He's going to be moving off. And this was one of his goodbye events. So it was wonderful to see the general. And he looked like he was in good health and good spirits. And he was as sharp as a tack.
Right on. And did the movie end the same way it always does?
It did. As a matter of fact, the movie has been, I think, remastered so many times now. The thing is absolutely gorgeous.
Really?
The cinematography and the video, the audio is unbelievable. Wow. So,
frankly, you know, my dear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It got better. All right. Let's see. I had a stag party this weekend because I am, you know, quote unquote, getting married again. Going to be, Aaron's moving up over July 4th weekend and bringing the dog, and we'll be hitched again. Very excited about that. But of course, I had to celebrate, you know, sort of the end of doing exactly what I want whenever I want. In a way to speak, but the big we had a big barbecue and had some good food. But I had for the first time Wagyu steak.
Oh yeah,
we made some Wagyus. We threw those on the grill along with some lobster, prawns, and oysters. But man, those Wagyus, I can never go back now.
Yeah, at Costco.
Yeah. Oh, that's where we got them. Yeah.
Oh
man, they had
fabulous
sirloin cut. They had ribeye cut. Oh, they had all the cuts of Wagyu. And I tell you what, if you have not experienced the Wagyu yet, go do it, because it's worth it, my friend. It changed my relationship with steak forever. And that was already a pretty special relationship, I tell you what. Yeah. So no, it was great. We partied in the rain with some friends and had a good old time, and so excited to welcome the better half on up to the island. All right. So here we go. Today is a significant day. Speaking of feasts, it is the Feast of San Giovanni, celebrated with parades, food, and fireworks. That sounds like our kind of party on the island. It is National Upcycling Day today. So take something, some found item, and make it better. And it's International Fairy Day, Fairy with Wings Day. But we could just say it's Fairy Day with an E-R-R-Y. And speaking of fairies, next Monday, you know, Kim Schride is finally retiring after 40 years.
Really?
On the boats. Next Monday, June 30th, which also happens to be the first day of the return of the three-boat schedule. That's going to go smoothly, we all know. But Kim is retiring. There's a retirement party down there on the dock for her at 11 a.m. Of course, we have so much faith in all of our dock workers, but what in the world are we going to do without Kim waving us on in the morning?
I think we all ought to go down there and do exactly the opposite of what she tells us to. Don't you think so? Wouldn't that be great? If she tells you to go to this line, you go, no, no, you go to the other line. Or you stop and look and you're like, what?
What should I do now, Kim? Yeah.
You better not be going anywhere important.
No, I know. But I just thought that might be kind of fun, you know?
That would be pretty good. Yeah, we got to send her off with a bang and some love.
Exactly.
That's right. All right.
So, you're my neighbor Kim is about to take the big transition into retirement mode.
That's right. Yep.
Congratulations, Kim.
Yes. We owe her a debt of thanks for keeping it together down there. All right. So today in history, on this day in 2022, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, which had stood since 1973, ending the constitutional right to an abortion in the United States. As of today, 13 states have outright bans. 4 states have 6-week bans, which is ridiculous, of course, and virtually the same as an outright ban. 1 state has a 12-week and another 18 weeks. So all in all, that is a pretty sad day in history. We'll kind of let that stand. And starting the trivia a little bit early, does anyone know how many women traveled out of state in 2024 to obtain abortion care?
No, this is nationwide.
Nationwide. How many women traveled to obtain Abortion care. Yeah. 155,000 women.
Oh, what?
Holy. That's right.
No.
Yes. 155.
I wouldn't have come close.
Yeah.
Me
neither.
I would have said 155.
Yeah. No, no. Out of state, nationwide. Abortion care is health care, everyone. And if you don't know a woman who has had abortion care, then you don't know the women in your lives, because almost all of them have, in some way or the other, received some kind of reproductive care. And if that's not available in their state, gosh darn, what are they going to do? They're going to travel to get it. So, you know, it's important. We keep working on that front. I think there's a lot out there, but there are millions of women in our lives who need care, and they need our help, and they need us to keep working on that. All right. So let's get trivial. We're going to start with, in our NPR homage to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we're going to start with Lightning Fill in the Blank, where I will test our briefly knowledge of Vashon events, followed by a Vashon Limerick Challenge, and then we'll do some quick national trivia before we get into the heavy stuff and take on the biggest news of the day, which we all hope de-escalates from here. All right, Kevin. I'm going to start with you. Are you ready?
You're going to call on us to do this?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to rely on our combined knowledge.
Yeah,
we might actually get one if we did that.
Yeah. No, don't worry. Right. Don't worry.
Can I call a friend?
You may Zoom a friend immediately.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Just to catch us up on what's going on. At a June 12th meeting, the Vashon School Board approved a contract to employ Dr. Josephine Mochia as the school district's interim
superintendent.
Yes. All right.
Woo. Ching.
Ding. All right, Truman, this feels like a good one for you. Trucks with ground clearance of less than 14 inches were advised last week to avoid the Point Defiance Tahlequah ferry route due to blank restrictions.
Low tide.
Yes. All right.
Thanks.
Let's see, Bruce. Here we go. We got one for you. The Washington State Department of blank released a draft plan to reduce nutrient pollution in the Puget Sound. Which department might have done that?
Natural resources?
Close enough. It's ecology.
Ecology.
That's right. All right, Craig.
They change their names all the time.
They do, right. Who can keep up? The Washington State Department of don't
You're
do that.
That's it.
Indeed. All right. Craig, I think you're sharp enough for this one still.
I don't know.
The Vashon Care Network and Vashon Senior Center are launching the Vashon Island Old Friends Club, a daytime program for adults with blank or cognitive decline.
With blank or cognitive
decline. It all goes together, doesn't it?
How apropos.
I think we have a candidate here.
Memory?
That's right. Dementia.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Or cognitive decline. Okay. Here we go. Kevin, back around at you.
Here we go.
The Food Bank's Picnics in the Park Summer Meals program will serve free lunches starting June 30th at both Ober Park and Ware.
Ooh. I hope it's the Vashon Methodist Church.
Close, but not quite. It is the BARC, the Burton Area Recreational Center in Burton. Yeah, they have free lunches down in Burton, too.
Oh, I did not know that.
That's right.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, that was a tough one.
Yeah.
I did not know that either.
Indeed. All right. Truman.
All right, pressure's on.
The 2025 unofficial mayor candidates for Vashon Island this year include children and an anthropomorphic can of what?
Oh, yeah.
I saw that.
We had this on the show.
That's right.
We had no animals this year. That's the one thing I remember.
Yeah, we've had goats, raccoons, but never a can of what for the food bank?
I'm going to call it soup.
Close enough. Beans.
I should have got that. I really missed it on that one.
The musical soup.
Yeah. Canny. I think they're going with canny. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yes. Canny. All right. Bruce, the Vashon Island Growers Association Farmers Market runs every Saturday at the Blank Green through September 27th.
The Village Green.
That is right, indeed. All right. And Craig, here we go. The Vashon Center for the Arts hosted a celebration last week featuring drumming, acoustic guitar, and educational activities in the atrium, all celebrating what event?
I know last this one. I know this one.
All right. You want to phone a friend?
Can I phone a friend?
All right.
Sure. Juneteenth?
That's right.
Oh.
Ding.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Last week was the clue. I know. Yeah. I know. That was the clue. All right. Now, we've got the Listener Limerick Challenge, or the Briefly Limerick Challenge. And Kevin, since you are out on the waters, I'm going to start with our aquatic limerick for you.
Okay.
Are you ready? Now, you're going to guess the blank. You ready? A creature with whiskers and flair was spotted sunbathing with care by driftwood and kelp. It needed no help, just there to whelp. A young harbor blank was there.
Seal.
Yes, indeed.
Did you write that? did you write that?
You have to listen to a lot of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I tell you what.
That was really good.
A lot.
Okay, I have a seal story now. I have to jump in. So we were anchored in Blind Bay yesterday, and it was one of those days that started out kind of rough in the weather, and all the Harney Channel waves were coming in, the boats rocking back and forth. But as the evening light came along, things quieted down, and the water just became like glassy, smooth mirror type. So I thought, you know, I haven't been rowing for a while, so I better get out in the dinghy, you know, and get back into the business of rowing around. And at one point, I had 3 seals right behind the dinghy following me along.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I had a seal parade in Blind Bay.
A few years ago, we were up in the San Juans, and there were otters that were
oh my goodness.
There. And they were so funny because they would dive, and then they would come up with a fish, and they're eating that fish. It was hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway. What was the sound that made?
Yeah.
Pretty good, huh? Good?
I imagine that's exactly what an otter eating a fish sounds like.
That's what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can picture it now. All right. Craig. Uh-oh.
Okay.
Craig, you ready?
No.
Not in the least. The grants from D.C. might go away, leaving nonprofits in great dismay. Without any bread, their programs could shed much needed support day by...
Oh, night.
Close enough.
Indeed. All right, Bruce.
Why am I laughing at that one?
I know. It's not funny.
That's right.
No, it's because we laugh. We laugh so
we
don't cry.
Or we cry.
That's right. That's right. All right, Bruce, here we go. A project long trapped on a ridge now is moving forward. Now moving forward with dollars and funding quite bridge. With permits in hand, they'll build on the land affordable homes at Creekside. It's a tough rhyme, I'm going to say. It's a tough rhyme. It doesn't quite work.
Okay.
It's affordable homes at Creekside Village.
Village.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's a tough
rhyme. I was going to say manor.
Yeah.
But we're like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. More village. Which I think we can refer to it now as Creekside Village.
Can we protest the rhymes?
Can we get a ruling from the judge?
Where's the panel when you need it?
Right.
All right, this is a good one here for you, Truman.
Okay.
They'll pack up their shelves plank by plank. Apples, eggs, milk, and perhaps a ham shank. Now funding's in hand, they'll soon build on the land a new home at last for the...
It's got to be the food bank.
That's right, the food bank.
Wow.
There it
hey,
is.
Hey, I have a quick announcement. For you folks who normally listen to Adventures in Recovery, which is on at 1:30, on the Voice of Vashon, that will not be airing today. And the reason is because the dock on the south end, I don't know if it's which one it is, if it's Tahlequah or Point Defiance, but that dock is broken.
Oh.
And the south end ferry is not running all day.
The south end ferry is not running today.
That's
is
correct.
Is that that thing where it goes out, where it trips, and they have to like have someone hang over the side of the boat in order to reset the circuit?
It's at Point Defiance. The gentleman that Tom Walston, who does the Adventures show, said that after 2 hours at Point Defiance, DOT reports that the apron is broken, may be fixed in 3 to 4 hours. Okay, it's not all day. So anyway, there's going to be no recovery, adventures in recovery
yeah.
today.
And heads up if you're traveling off the south
exactly.
end today.
Yep.
Change up your route.
Yep.
All right. Well, speaking of the food bank, they did have their groundbreaking this past week. Was it Monday? Gosh, what day is it, everybody? Today's Tuesday.
Yeah.
It was on Friday.
It was on Friday.
Teresa Mosqueda is here. For some.
That's right.
Teresa did not make it, but her staff did.
Oh,
but
staff.
Jayapal. Jayapal made
Jayapal.
It. Yeah, and she had that coffee Friday. At the roastery right. as well, yeah. which was pretty interesting.
I have an update on the South End Ferry.
Okay.
According to the ferry friend, it says, terminal engineers have made repairs to the loading bridge. The Point Defiance Tellico route will restore service with the late 10:55 a.m. departure from Point Defiance.
Oh. Oh.
So.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Well.
Be aware there may be significant delays today at the Point Defiance Tahlequah run. Yeah, the food bank. Well, Tom is, of course, with Vashon Youth and Family Services, which will be in great collaboration with the food bank when they open their new spot at the Methodist Church. But it was great to see their groundbreaking today. And it is awesome to have those coordinated services uptown for folks.
Yeah,
so
I opened up my email today, and Eric Walker, who we're in collaboration with at the food bank, also working to be a resilience hub, by the way. I do have some little breaking news. The King County Strategic Climate Action Plan is out, and indeed it does identify the Vashon location as a resilience hub pilot program. So
fantastic.
That's totally awesome. Yeah, that has not been official yet. It's going to go up to the King County Council in September. But the reason I mention all that is Eric did send me some photographs from the groundbreaking. It looked like they had about 40 people there.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, yeah. Through the drizzle. We persisted through the drizzle. And it was a lovely morning of civic engagement. Congresswoman Jayapal gave pretty good talk at the roastery, gave a good stump speech about everything that's going on. And of course, you know, the impacts from the, gosh, I forget, it was not the big, beautiful bill, as she referred to it.
No.
Indeed. It was not that. But, you know, those impacts they're pretty severe. And that bill is looking really like it's going to pass. So get in touch with your senators. Just hearkening back to that limerick, if indeed the triple B does pass untouched, there will be significant effects to the nation and to just little Vashon Island here in particular. So get in touch with your senators. All right, let's see. Where are we? We are now moving on to national trivia because we're warming into the world. We're warming into what's going on up there. All right, so this one we'll do together. Everybody together, if anybody's got this one. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved Gilead Sciences' new drug, lenacapavir, marketed as Yetsugo, for the treatment of what?
Ooh.
Dementia.
Close. No.
Well, that's a good guess.
Yeah. Yetsugo. Yeah, I think I get an award for reading those. But it's for HIV prevention. It's a it's a great breakthrough drug.
Right.
Yes,
right.
For HIV prevention. All right, the Florida Panthers defeated the Edmonton Oilers in the Stanley Cup Finals, claiming their blank consecutive Stanley Cup victory. The listeners cannot cannot
hold up your two fingers closer to the mic.
They're second.
They are second. Ding! Second consecutive. Congratulations, Florida. All right. On June 11th, the European Space Agency's Solar Orbiter captured the first ever images of the sun's blank pole, providing unprecedented insights into solar activity.
South.
Indeed. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, while it still exists, issued a severe heat alert in June, warning that this summer could be one of the most dangerous in decades due to factors like elevated sea surface temperatures and the urban blank effect.
Well, it has to do with all the pavement, so it's got to be heat. You got a heat dome?
Mm. Heat Island.
Heat Island.
Heat
there
Island.
We go.
Yes.
Heat Island.
Yes,
yeah.
Which is also the name of my band.
Oh. Not bad.
All right. And also this month, the Texas Longhorns women's fast pitch team secured their first ever Women's College World Series title by defeating who in a decisive Game 3?
Ooh.
Ooh. Wow. And I watched this game, and it was decisive. Indeed, it was Truman?
No, no, I was going to go for it.
You'd
no.
be the best one. It was Texas Tech.
Oh.
It was an all-Texas women's World Series championship. Lubbock. College
Lubbock,
World
Texas,
Series.
Texas Tech, I think it's Lubbock.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a question for you. I am totally impressed with women's fast pitch softball. I mean, they're the pitchers.
Yes.
How fast do they pitch?
They pitch at college, and you know there is a professional that's mm-hmm. professional league that's about to launch. It's about 80 miles an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, it gets up there. The some of the best ones, right? Like the real heaters that come in. But it actually technically, if you're a batter, it proportionately to where you stand in Major League Baseball, it actually comes in faster because you're closer.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So you have much less reaction time. Yeah.
You have to start swinging the bat before the ball leaves the hand.
You do. You do. That's what we tell the girls is take a look at that ball. You start your stance, get in it right, like preload it, and you start swinging, and then you decide if you're going to go when you see the ball. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but it was a fun game.
I'm totally impressed. I mean, that whole wind up and you know letting that thing fling. It's amazing.
I couldn't throw a fastball 80 miles an hour if my life depended on it.
And those gals are
softball.
Had a shotgun.
Yeah, those gals are right by those batters, man. Oh, man. That ball comes at you. It comes at you fast. But also, speaking of not so fast pitch, it is the Vashon Co-Ed League Championship Week this week at Agron Park. So show up at 6:15 all week long, and you're guaranteed to see a fun softball game.
Mm. Well, I have to tell you. Women's sports have been degraded, you know. I mean, over the years, people have poo-pooed it and whatever. But I got to tell you, women's sports are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You watch women's volleyball. Holy cow, those women are amazing.
Yeah, everybody watches women's sports.
And women's basketball for crying out loud. You know, Caitlin Collins. I mean, she's just lit the place up.
Yeah, she did. She changed the game.
Title IX was way overdue.
Way overdue. Yeah,
It was. Maybe the most important advancement in women's rights in U.S. history, arguably. It's an arm wrestler.
I was representing the colleges here in the state when it was enacted, and it was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was the institutions, of course, shuddered a little bit looking at their budgets.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, they were tooth and nail into the 19th century.
And look what has happened. Sports has blossomed.
Yeah.
That's right. Equity is good for all. All right. So we're going to get into talking about the news of the day here, which is, of course, the conflict in the Middle East, which seems to escalate and then de-escalate and escalate and de-escalate. But let's do a little bit of Q&A trivia just to warm into it, because it's been a quick 12 days.
Oh,
it's been a big 12 days. So let's kind of walk through it a little bit. So on June 13th, Israel launched Operation What? A large-scale air and drone strike campaign targeting Iranian nuclear and military facilities.
Oh, it had a very interesting name.
It's very proud. They're very proud of their name.
Was it a hammer?
I'm giving you a clue. You can't see my air quotes of proud. Operation Rising Lion.
Oh, that's a rising.
All right. So Israel, Israel launches their drone strikes. Wow. And then in retaliation, Iran initiates Operation What? Launching missile barrages, striking multiple cities in Israel. This one's a little tricky, but boy, those boys love their titles, don't they? Very, very grandiloquent. Operation Herald of Victory.
Oh, I would have never gotten that one.
Right, so launch back. And then the Israeli military campaign resulted in the deaths of several high-ranking Iranian officials, including the IRGC commander Hossein Salami and nuclear scientist Feryadud Abbasai Devani. Right, so what do we think? Let's pause here and talk about what do we think's going on with Iran's nuclear program. Did we get the results we wanted? What results did we want? I did see today that the NATO commander basically praised Donald Trump, saying that he did what folks had not had the guts to do, making us all safer. What do we think about that statement?
I think that when you start bombing people, the chaos ensues. And to predict exactly what's going to happen over the next few weeks, few months is perilous. So plus we don't know what happened there. They don't have any intelligence on the actual subject. Everything I've heard from the generals and retired generals and whatnot is that you don't say that your mission is, you know, absolutely 100% successful before the smoke clears. Mm-hmm. I'll stop there.
it strikes me it's like the Monday morning quarterbacks on aircraft accidents. You know, I mean, it's the same thing. How in the world can you determine what happened? I mean, I read something recently that Trump, instead of using logic and listening to his, knee-jerk, you indicate, he kind of responds to the last person he talked to and, you know, has just no logic in his decisions. They're just...
Well, he did play the publicity well. Yeah. He's excellent at that. That's his superpower. And he decided he wanted to get on board with Israel, so he changed his whole position on war, in order to be sure that he got a lot of credit for that.
Yeah. Now, question, and Bruce, jump in here. What do we think about the whole, you know, obviously with Russia backing Iran, right? Where does that put Trump and the United States vis-a-vis Russia and Putin? And talk a little bit more about that.
Well, you know, from my perspective, you're never going to stop Iran from developing a nuclear weapon. I mean, you may delay it, but, you know, there's so many ways to create nuclear weapons, and you don't need big centralized centrifuges to do it. I mean, it makes it quicker, but, you know, my sense is this bombing campaign and these sort of bunker buster bombs have just forced Iran to decentralize even more, and so... It'll be a slower process, but the process is not going to stop. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, you know, the China-Russia sort of connections. I mean, lots of talk about are Russia and China going to supply Iran with nuclear weapons if this continues? And it's just one of those great unknowns. And it's sort of like how much are the Russian and Chinese leaders willing to gamble, you know, on the United States being a paper tiger, you know, great at dropping these bombs, but are we going to be there in the long run? You know, our track record in Vietnam, beginning in Vietnam and Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, you know, bam, you know, we don't have a great track record for longevity and for staying power. And so, man, it's just an open question.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing that strikes me is that the other superpowers tend to have a somewhat of a moral compass in that they don't want to obliterate the world with nuclear weapons. Do the Iranians have that same compass? I don't know. I don't know if they...
Their compass points to their north, right? Yeah, they have
that's kind of what I mean.
They for sure have a true north. Kevin?
Frozen.
I think.
Oh, Kevin's frozen.
Frozen with opportunity. We oh, will.
No.
We will.
I think it's
we. Oh, there we go.
There is.
All right, Kevin.
No, you're freezing. You're freezing.
Oh.
I think it's interesting, Truman, that those who have nuclear weapons. Okay, it's interesting to me that am I coming through okay now?
Yeah. Now you are.
Yes. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. You might want to dump your video.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead and turn your video off, and maybe you'll have your audio will come through, Kevin.
Yeah, right. You're right, Craig. I think it's just very difficult to quarterback it at all. Do we have a Kevin now? We've got a beautiful...
Are you hearing...
There we go.
Yeah, now we are.
Are you hearing... Okay. I think it's intriguing those who have nuclear capabilities are not willing to let others have it because they think somehow that they're able to manage them better. Hopefully that will be true.
Yeah.
I think the Iran-Russia divide is intriguing. You know, we've already seen Trump back away from some of his kindest words to his friend Vladimir. We'll see if this actually creates a wedge. But I think it's quite unlikely that their capability's been destroyed. They talk about a new facility for atomic research in Iran. So we haven't seen how that plays out yet, but I think the nuclear capability is still in play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think clearly the Iranians are not stupid. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize this. I didn't realize how small a large quantity of nuclear-grade, plutonium or uranium takes up. You can toss it in the back of a SUV and carry it off.
888 pounds is what they moved.
Yeah, 888 pounds is a lot of uranium.
Weapons-grade material.
Exactly,
is what they call
exactly.
It.
Yeah, and you saw the trucks that they, you saw the pictures, I think, of the trucks that were outside of, I want to call it Frodo, four-door. Mm-hmm. Those, you didn't need those trucks to carry the weapons-grade uranium. You needed those to probably to carry a lot of the equipment that makes that.
And so. Centrifuges and...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it is. And, when we're, there were definitely, I think all of us held our breath sort of wondering what Iranian retaliation might look like, what form it might take in the United States, right? Asymmetrical warfare and terrorism. We're in a new sort of day around that. And I don't think anyone wanted to see it escalate. I am curious, though, to hear kind of what folks want to quarterback around on oil prices. Because, right, we saw the surge in oil, and then we saw a dip in oil prices. And that was a little contrary to kind of my logic, thinking about with all that instability, right, usually we're going to see a huge spike in oil prices.
The whole Hormuz, the Straits of Hormuz thing, I mean, I expected, like you, I expected them to spike and stay as long as there was that uncertainty. But I have no idea what drove them back down. I really don't.
And they got beaten down badly today.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
My reading of it is because Iran did not close the straits. It's sort of a signal that they're going to allow the oil to flow. And so all those people who are betting on the upside of the closing and prices skyrocketing are sort of eating those bets right now. Mm-hmm. But not to say that Iran is not a week from now going to turn around and change their policy. It's unknown.
Yeah, and I think the performative nature of the strike that Iran made here, where they warned the Qatar and the Americans that they were going to do it, and so that all was a signal that things were calming down at least for the time being. I don't know where you're going with your script there, Amy. But one of the things that about this whole historic event is the role of the treaty that the Obama administration had entered into, and Trump getting rid of it, walking us out of that during his first term. People on the right talk about, oh, that was a horrible deal. We had to pay them, zillions of dollars in cash, in order to do that. And they always leave off the sort of, well, that was their money.
Yeah.
That we had seized for only a temporary time. And it turned out we had seized it, I think, for 10 years or something. But that treaty had inspectors on every one of these places that we bombed, and the evidence was that they were actually complying with the limitations on the grade, if you will, of the uranium. And so what happens is Trump now is bombing another country based, I think, on something that would have been avoidable had he not walked out of that treaty.
Exactly.
Yeah. And sort of the ultimate irony of this is in the late 70s, the United States, once the Shah took over, created a huge nuclear training program for Iranians to create nuclear reactors for electricity. And so this is all based on what we did, 50 years ago. And sort of we're seeing the results of it.
Eisenhower did it with a number of countries.
Right.
And what did I try to remember where I heard this, that the Iranian people really like Americans and the government doesn't. And then Saudi Arabia is the other way around. The government loves us and the Saudis don't, the citizens. I think that's interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, no, it's we are subject to our own messes,
indeed,
aren't we?
That's what I
and
saying.
It just kind of doesn't seem to be working out when we step into other people's conflicts, does it?
Hmm. Never.
There's always, what do you call it, unforeseeable consequences when you engage in acts of war.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even, the law of unforeseen consequences, right? You do something good, for instance, I think we could say it was a great time of hope and promise with the Arab Spring. And yet that vacuum has sort of destabilized the region in new and different ways,
Well, what do you think about regime change in Iran? Is it possible? Can regime change be imposed from the outside? Or does it have to come internally?
Not successfully.
Are you asking on behalf of a friend?
Yeah, yeah. I'm asking on behalf of military intelligence down the.
Well, there's not a good track record.
No.
Let's put it that way.
I was going to say, in Vietnam, I mean, you look at when we put in two into place, and then that didn't work, and so then we had to get rid of him, and. One of the things that we always said in Vietnam was that the politicians are the ones who wrecked that war. if they'd have let Westmoreland go and do the stuff he wanted to do, that would have been it'd have been over. Mm-hmm. Because we would have gone in and really, really done it, what we should have done, rather than the limited stuff. I mean, before we'd hit a village or an area, we'd go in and put pamphlets out. Okay, we're going to be coming in tomorrow. It's kind of like what happened with the Iranians telling us.
Well, that makes, I mean, you lost a lot of troops as a result of that. And that whole conflict lasted a lot longer needed to.
Yeah.
But that begs the question of what would have happened after you'd, quote, won.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't win the hearts and minds of the people, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, colonialism, it's just still not working. Should we give it a few hundred more years?
Yeah.
Just see if it's got a payoff
We
to
can't
it?
Remember what happened last week.
Yes. And that is, true. The very short memory of the American folks, right? Thinking that after, what was it, 50 years, that the Cold War sort of magically disappeared? Mm-hmm. That the Russians just sort of forgot about it, right? It's all over now. Oh, we've got our Kevin back. Do we have our Kevin back?
Hey, if my audio is working.
Yes.
I wanted to comment on the regime change. Yes, regime change is possible. Yes. Will the regime change that you want manifest itself?
Exactly.
That is a whole different problem.
Yeah.
And I'm actually reading a little bit of a history of those types of operations. And they point out that any time that you've successfully engaged in regime change, it takes a very concerted presence in the country. And even then, your odds are low. So the notion that it's stay out of other people's business is completely opposed to the notion of trying to get regime change in Iran at this point, in my opinion.
Well, one of the things that I always found fascinating is we say we're going to bring democracy to the country. And so you folks are going to vote and decide what you want to do. And then they decide on bringing in an authoritarian or a dictator. And we're like, no, that's not what we meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. But but it is what we meant.
Yeah.
Well, it's also important to put regime change in context. I mean, World War II was fought over regime change. Mm-hmm. And we changed the regime in Japan and we changed the regime in Germany and Italy. And for 70, 80 years, it has worked pretty well, but at what cost? And that goes back to Craig's kind of question is, are we willing to commit to what it means long term? And again, the track record, you look at Vietnam, you look at Iraq, you look at Afghanistan, we have not been willing to stand in there for the long run. And that's what it takes.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed. All right. Well, I do want to pivot out on a good Pacific Northwest note as we all sort of collectively keep holding our breath here. Right. This month is Orca Action Month.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. And if you are not a member of the Seattle Aquarium, you may not know that it's Orca Action Month. But I did want to just take a minute and see if we can get some of our orca names down. I am Ocean Sun. Yes. Yes. Of the L-Pod. Ocean Sun of the L-Pod. Yeah. I know. Truman is staggered.
No, no. Right, so now. are you adopting that name from the L-Pod? Or?
Well, it's, yeah. So what we're going to do is the aquarium has an awesome quiz where you can decide, you can find out what your orca name is from the L-Pods, right? I'm going to ask a series of questions. Oh. Yeah. And we can find out what our orca name is, because I hate to end on a low note at the Brown briefly.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, and just, I was writing this up last night and things were literally changing, you know, as I was writing the direction of the script up last night. So I thought we'd kind of end with some fun here one more time. All right. So we are going to quote unquote dive in and, let's see, I'll give you some questions, and Bruce, we're going to do this collectively. We're going to find out our collective orca name. Bruce, what would you like to most be named after? A celestial body, a gemstone, an indigenous chief's daughter, tasty food, or the show Star Trek?
Mm.
Oh, I know.
Well, celestial bodies and Star Trek sort of go together. So, so I'll take those two.
Oh, you got to pick one. You get one and only one. Celestial body or Star Trek? Let's go Star Trek, because that
Star
seems
Trek, yes.
Mad Libs right. The most fun. All right. Kevin, what is your idea of a fashionable hairstyle, fin style? Tall and pointy or short and curvy?
Ooh, short and curly.
All right, here we go. Craig, how many salmon would you like to be able to eat in a day? 6, 20, 25, or no thanks, I'd rather drink milk.
We'll go with 6.
Okay, all right. Great temperance. And Truman, it is Friday night. What are you doing? Leading the way to the best dinner in town? Tagging along to see if you can get in on the meal, babysitting the kids, or testing the patience of your babysitter?
No, I'm going for the meal.
You're going for the meal?
I'm leading the way
to the best
I'm
meal
always the
in
first
town.
In line. You bet.
All right, Bruce, back to you. When it comes to food, are you more of a giver who loves sharing bites with others or a taker who happily accepts all food?
Probably a giver.
All right. Agreed. Okay. And finally, Kevin, which sound reminds you the most of home? A squeaky door, an attention-grabbing whistle, or a kitten in a haunted house?
Well, other than the haunted house, I'd have to say the kitten.
Okay. We're going to go kitten. And our orca name is Prosper. Brown Brieflies, we are all known under the orca name of Prosper. K-45 was born in 2022, the first baby orca born in the K-Pod in 11 years.
Wow.
So we are Prosper, and we all get to follow the name of Prosper. Oh, her name continues on the tradition in the family. Her mother's name is Spock.
Oh.
So there we go. We could have been Spock if we'd stayed on the Star Trek theme. All right. So if you would like to find out your orca name, and I am not even paid for this endorsement, you can go to the Seattle Aquarium website and take the quiz yourself, which I think is both brilliant and fun.
I do, too. I wrote down Prosper because I don't have that drug you mentioned early on.
Yeah. I did too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and then
mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but I did it with a Sharpie. That judges up.
Prosper. We shall all live long and prosper. Oh, I just got the joke.
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow. Now, everybody here is just nodding along. Like, good job, Amy. Way to come along.
You're, speaking of slow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to go hang out with those old friends. I tell you what, yeah. I need it myself. All right. So, what do we have coming up next week? Who's hosting next week?
It'll be a fun show next week. I'm hosting.
What, for a change? Is that what you're asking?
Well, after we get you dregs out of the way, bring us some real humor. Yeah. We had to pay Amy to bring this show
on. That's right. Actually,
next week we're going to have a show about the hydroplane race. Ooh. Around the island.
Oh.
Now, technically, it's not a race. It's a run. And that's because if it's a race, it has to have insurance, it has to have a sponsor, it has to have, you know, all these kind of technical things.
I thought it wasn't even an event. It was a secret.
It's basically, but they call it the hydro run around the island. So we're going to have Brian Breno, who has written a book on the hydros, and hopefully Roger Stanley, the first hydroplane runner around the island. Yeah. He originally did it in 1955, and then sort of was informal until 1960. And then beginning in 1960, it's been run every single year, except, read the Beachcomber tomorrow, except for 1973, when there had been complaints about the noise. And so 4th of July morning, it's at 5:30 a.m., King County cops were at Jensen Point going to ticket the hydroplane drivers and a Coast Guard cutter, 82-foot Coast Guard cutter.
Wow.
Was stationed, anchored right off of Point.
Holy cow.
Of Point Jensen Point boat launch, to prevent them from going around the island. Going to cite them for having unlicensed boats. In 1973, the race didn't take place. But 2 weeks later, they did it anyway. And when they got back, there was a cop waiting and cited them for noise violations.
It was worth it.
The only other time it wasn't run was 1995. There was a tremendous windstorm, and so it was canceled because of weather. But it's run every year since 1960. Mm. So we'll have Brian and hopefully Roger Stanley on next week to talk about the hydroplanes. And on Friday, Thursday the 3rd, because it's going to be first Thursday instead of first Friday in July, because Friday's the 4th of July.
Oh, right.
So first Thursday, the museum's going to dedicate the Roger Stanley Hydro Shed, which is an exhibit of the original hydroplane in the back garden of the museum. So it should be a fun show.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have those little ice cream cups.
That has to wait. You have to wait until Strawberry Festival.
Okay. Festival.
Okay. Oh. You know, out at the airport, we have one hangar that most of the hangars have airplanes. I mean, they're all supposed to. But one has an airplane, but it also has a hydroplane.
Really?
And it's one of the original, reciprocating engine hydros. And it's wood with aluminum skin. And they do. They only run it in fresh water. Okay. They don't run it in salt. Wow. And so they will go over to Tri-Cities and run that one. And there's a couple other races that they run.
What's the name?
Ian, I knew you were going to ask me that.
Is it the Miss Thriftway?
Pardon me?
Is it the Miss Thriftway?
I don't think it is. No.
They rebuilt the Miss Thriftway here on the island a few years back.
No, this one's, I'm sure it's not the Miss Thriftway. Right, yeah. And I'm sorry, I don't have the name.
Yeah, but. Kevin, do you know the name of the mysterious hydroplane in the hangar at the Vashon Airport?
I don't, but I can just say that the things that I'd like to see, I know that down at Burton Boatyard, there's a boat that has hydrofoils. And I think it was one of the earlier test hydrofoil boating things that came off of Vashon. So I'm looking for hydroplanes with hydrofoils sometime in our future around Vashon Run. And maybe some inventive Vashonites will put something together to make that happen.
Oh, I like it. Well, hydrofoil is the way of the future for the water taxi as well.
That the gentleman who built that boat, I believe, was a Boeing engineer. And it's his own design.
Skip Larson.
Yeah.
Yeah, Larson and, boats.
Yeah, pretty interesting. I tell you what, the thing works well. I mean, I've seen him out running. It's it goes fast.
So. Kevin, you got to be careful if you're going to be out there rowing on the morning of the 4th of July.
I start wearing my high-vis rowing hat.
There you go. There you go. Well, I'm going to be bummed. I will be catching that show on podcast. I will not be here next week because I'll be traveling to Denver. So I'll catch it on podcast, because don't forget, listeners, you can listen to the podcast of the always fun Brown Briefly radio show. So tune in next week. Tune in the week after and the week after that. Make us part of your day. On behalf of Bruce, Truman, Craig, and Kevin, thank you so much for spending your hour with us. And thank you for listening to KVSH 101.9 FM, the Voice of Vashon, also streaming live at voiceofvashon.org.